content presented on the following show by any host or by any guest should be used solely for your entertainment and enjoyment. The views and opinions of the following show are not necessarily those of the Whole Care Network, other show hosts on the Whole Care Network, or advertisers on the Whole Care Network. Shows on the Whole Care Network are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any disease or condition. Always consult a professional when making any changes to your physical, spiritual, mental, or financial health. And thank you for listening to the Whole Care Network.
How do you want to be cared for as you age? By planning now, successful aging is in your control. Welcome to Your Future Self. Featured on the Whole Care Network, On Your Future Self, we share real-life stories and trusted resources to help you plan for your care. And now, here are your hosts, Monica Stanchula and Christopher McLellan. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to our sixth episode of Your Future Self, featured on the Whole Care Network. I am one of the co-hosts. You might know me as Chris McLellan, the Bowtie Guy, and my sister from another mother, Monica Stanchula from Credit for Caring.
Hello.
Monica.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Tell me about you.
I'm doing great. I'm so looking forward to today's session where we pull it all together, because I think that's really important. We've been talking about these subjects in depth, but now is our chance to bring it home.
We're going to do a brief recap of our pillars of care that we've been talking about on Your Future Self. And we're going to bounce back and forth. Monica is going to take the lead on two, and I'm going to take the lead on two. And then we're going to come back and wrap it up. We really appreciate all the feedback we've got on our episodes. And again, feel free to email us at wecare@thewholecarenetwork.com, because we're going to continue these conversations, because it is about planning for your future self. So, Monica.
Yes.
You want me to go first?
No, Chris, I'd like to go first, if you don't mind. Chris, the first pillar that we talked about was about the physical, was about your physical self. And the reason why this one is so important to me is I've been around for many decades, as you alluded to in the beginning here. Life has its ups and downs, doesn't it? There's times where you feel physically fit, and there's times when you know you're pretty much a couch potato. And the problem is with caregiving is, though you're so physically active the entire time, helping someone to transfer from sitting to standing and walking and doing all the activities of daily living, it's a very physical job. But the problem is, that we rarely take care of ourselves physically, even when we're performing that job. And so to me, I love talking about the physical side of this, because your physical health is the foundation of making that machine work that you call your body. And what we discussed during that is, don't lose sight of yourself in that whole process. And it's so easy to do when you're a caregiver.
Very much so.
It's so easy because the focus is on your loved one that you're caring for, and it's a privilege to care for them. But we need to make sure that we take care of ourselves as well. At the end of the episode, there were two recommendations that we made that I want to underscore for this last episode. And the first one was yours, about setting a daily intention. And Chris, what do you mean by setting a daily intention?
It's quite simple in itself. It's setting a time, whether it's 5 minutes just for yourself, whether that's 5 minutes of quiet time or whatever you like to do, set 5 minutes. Set that daily intention that is solely for you. It's okay to be selfish. That 5 minutes could be sitting in the closet just away from everybody.
Right.
But having something that you can dedicate solely for yourself, whatever that could be.
Great.
And you had a pretty good suggestion also.
Thank you. This is one that's close to my heart, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. And that is to make sure that you get at least 15 minutes of time outdoors every day. And we know that getting sunshine, getting natural vitamin D is important for everyone. So getting outside, letting the sun shine on your face, taking some deep breaths, just get some new air into you is really important. And if you happen to take a walk during that time, all the better.
And it's real easy for all of our listeners to access. Just go to the Whole Care Network and you'll see the little icon for search. It's the magnifying glass. Just type in your future self and you'll be taken right to the landing page and you'll see the item right there to download for all of our sessions.
Let's move on to the second pillar. And this one is the social pillar. And boy, this was a great discussion. I have to say that, okay, all of them were my favorite sessions. This one really stands out. And it stands out because of you. You shared a lot about your own caregiving journey. And then you finished up that session with talking about the 5 stages of grief that a caregiver goes through. Hey, Chris, would you go over those as a summary for our social health?
I'd be happy to. And I think it's so important to remember in these suggestions here. Caregiving is different for everybody. And while we certainly understand where other caregivers are coming because we've been down that road before, mm-hmm. I came up with these 5 stages of grief that were relatable to me. And I feel every caregiver experiences these at one stage or another. They may not be in this exact order, but I think everybody does experience this. And it's like the first one, relief. No matter what role you're playing in caregiving, there is some relief when it ends. And it's okay to recognize that you mentioned it earlier, that those nights with sleeping with one eye
right.
open. Yeah, and there's relief that it is right. over. Relief for both people, both the care partner and the caregiver. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to recognize that and own that because it's been a hard journey, whether it's been a short caregiving journey or it's been a 10 years or more, there is relief that it's over. And then sadness as well, because the life you once knew with your care partner is no longer there. And on a sidebar to that, I always like to phrase that as it's having 2 relationships in one, that pre-established relationship that you have, whether it's a spouse or a parent or a grandparent or sibling, and then that a caregiving relationship that is added on, all of a sudden, those 2 relationships end at the same time. Mm-hmm. And what do you do? And there's some sadness there. There is not some sadness. There's a lot of sadness right. there. And how do you pick yourself up and move on? And that comes at different times for each person. And what I would say is, do it in your time, because in your time, it does get better. And then you move into the guilt, mm-hmm. those what ifs. What if I could have done this better? What if I could have done this different? If I had just made that decision, if I had stayed that night at the hospice, the first night at hospice with Richard, they probably wouldn't have given him the morphine.
Okay, but at the same time, I remember you saying, our caregiver capes are limited.
Get this in perspective. Our caregiving capes are limited. Mm-hmm. We can only do so right. much. And our care partner's life is predestined. There's only so much we can do. Don't beat yourself up over the what ifs. Take comfort and joy in knowing that you showed up. We often forget about that. You showed up and you were there. Because there's a number of people who can't show up.
Right.
Yeah. And then we, from the guilt, we move into acceptance. It's that morning you wake up and as you're getting that vitamin D that you mentioned earlier,
right.
and that sun is shining on your bald head and your white beard. I may not have had the white beard then, but you wake up that one morning and you say, you know what? Job well done. No matter what you think you could have done for your care partner, you did what you had to do for your care partner. And no matter what decisions you think you could have made, you were there. And you come to that acceptance. Now, acceptance is going to come at different times for each individual. But you think of it, the analogy I like to use is what happens to plants that are not watered?
They die.
They die. Right. And what happens to plants when they're watered?
They live. They flourish.
And some plants, they grow new blooms.
Right.
And for us as caregivers, especially after caregiving ends, we have to find that path to acceptance so that we can be watered and so that we can grow those new blooms, so that we can move on with our head held high, knowing that we did the best that we could.
I love that visual. Thanks. What's the last stage?
The last one, that took me a little longer to get to the last stage, but it's taking action. Mm-hmm. And actually, as I wrote in my book, What's the Deal with Caregiving? I didn't have this. I only had the four, but taking action is really the fifth stage. You have to, as you gather these four stages, you have to take action on your life, on your dreams. Because if you dream it, you can do it. Just as nobody dreams to do caregiving. I've never met anybody that has caregiving on their bucket list of things to do in life. But after it ends, we have to take action in our life. You know, we can get the water to create the bloom, but if we don't move on from that bloom and create a life to love after caregiving ends, I'm just going to recycle those first four.
Yeah.
And yet you have to find that point in your life that you take action. And that happens at different times for every caregiver. So let me recap that real quickly. The five stages is relief. It's okay to admit that I'm glad that it's over. Sadness, there's two or more lives have been forever changed. Guilt, don't look back, always look forward. You know, what there's a number of things I wish I could have done differently, but the one thing wouldn't have changed any of the outcome. Acceptance that you did a good job, you did the best that you could, and then taking action on your life, on your dreams, and doing what not only you want to do, but you know that your care partner would want you to do.
Terrific. And Chris, the exercise that we put online for this one is a depression scale. And I encourage everyone to use this depression scale and use it as often as you want to. Sometimes it's hard when you're sitting amongst your own feelings to really understand where you are and how you're doing.
And what's interesting about that depression scale, it's just as it is when you're getting on a real scale and you're looking at your weight, it's going to go up and down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good point.
It's going to go up and down. Yeah. And what you want is you want that little lever there to just bounce around and from one or two points to each other, because there's always going to be some good days and some bad days. But you want to be as level as possible. And that's why on the Whole Care Network, we want all four of our pillars to be as level as possible. Because, you know, Monica, you've been to a restaurant, you sat down at a table, and one of the damn legs isn't level, and it's all...
Right.
What happens? You get frustrated. Right. You're calling the waitress. You put those little bags of sugar underneath. If your pillars aren't balanced, that's when the Geiger counter is going to go very far to the depression side.
That's a great point. Great. Hey, Chris, how about we take a break here and come back and talk about the last two pillars?
You're listening to Your Future Self on the Whole Care Network. We will be right back. Hey, it's Christopher McClellan from the Whole Care Network. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Your Future Self. And to learn more about our four pillars of care, visit us online at thewholecarenetwork.com, where you'll see a full description on all four of our pillars. And while you're on our pillars page, just do a quick search for Your Future Self, which will take you to our landing page for this podcast, where you'll be able to grab your homework assignments and see all the great discounts that we have to offer through Credit for Caring. And be sure to subscribe to Your Future Self wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Now, let's take it back to Monica.
Welcome back, everyone. Now we're going to move on to the last two pillars of health we covered in our series. And the next one is a favorite of mine. It is about the legal and financial issues of taking control of yourself. Our guests for this episode were Amanda and Ryan Singleton.
From Singleton Legal.
SingletonLegal.com. And they're located here in St. Petersburg, Florida.
And it's also important for me to mention that when it comes to legal information that we share on the Whole Care Network, it's for information purposes only. Always check with your attorney for any personal legal consultation.
Thank you, Chris. And that is a good reminder to all of us. So Amanda is an elder law attorney and Ryan is a consumer attorney. And boy, it was great having them on for this episode.
Yeah, it really was.
Because I could tell you as a lifelong social worker, the things that they talked about are so fundamental to getting caregiving and life after caregiving. What I want to do, Chris, is I'd like to go over the four main points of their presentation, just because I think we can never say it often enough. Is that okay?
I'd say have at it.
Okay, thank you. The first one is to get organized. You need to know what your assets are and what your obligations are.
Organized as a caregiver?
Ah, that's exactly it, Chris.
How do you do that, Monica?
Well, you find your bank statements, you find your credit card statements, you start to pull all that together almost like you were doing your taxes at the end of the year. In fact, you could use the documents that you use for your taxes for the previous year to get started. But get these things organized. Know what your obligations are. Know what your income is that you have that you can rely on. That's the first thing. So get organized. The second is, and I love that Ryan covered this in such detail, it's about creating a budget. In fact, Ryan put a link on this financial pillar on the website just on creating a budget, and you don't even have to do your own calculations. It will calculate for you, which is really terrific. Start plugging in the numbers of things that you know that you have right now. You can refine it over time, but what's important here is to understand what the boundaries are, how much money you have, how much money you're going to need to live.
You know, one of the things I remember from Ryan, talking with Ryan on the episode was it was such sound advice. Don't pay anything with cash.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
That words of wisdom was so important. And I thought back, how many times do you go to your local corner drugstore to pick up something in an emergency? Sometimes you just have to do it. But if you're able to use a credit card, you've got a couple of different records that you can always access. And it's easier to keep track of your expenditures.
Correct. The next thing he talked about is, we were just talking about it, Chris. While you're trying to make ends meet, there's a point where you may want to start liquidating some of your assets. And Boy, that should be done carefully.
Very much. And that's where you really do need the professional advice. And one of the things that Ryan mentioned, when you talk about liquidation, you want to make sure you're liquidating the right assets. And that's why, again, it's so important to speak to somebody, speak to a professional who can guide you through this, because in most cases, caregivers are going to be making these decisions while they're in an emotional state.
Right.
This is for information purposes only. Always check with your professional, whether it's an attorney or an accountant. Make sure that you're following the guidelines as related to your professional advice.
That's right. And the last thing that Amanda was talking about was about what documents you needed. Yes, it's very important to have the right documents and be ready with those documents when you go to the hospital. So we're talking about the life care documents of advance directive, living will, and health care surrogate. Now,
right. And each state's going to have something a little bit different, but it's important for all of our listeners to two things. Check with your attorney about these documents. And I'm pretty sure Amanda had mentioned, but I think it's pretty much standard across the board. Review those documents every second year, if not sooner.
That's right. The other point that Amanda was making on having these important documents is to always have a power of attorney that is a binding power of attorney, so that you can access bank accounts, that you can sign forms on someone going into a facility on their behalf, putting your name and then said on the behalf of and the person you're signing for. because you're their agent as their power of attorney.
That's right. It just reminds me of our story when Diane Lade wrote so elegantly, our healthcare proxies. They're like love letters.
Wow.
They're like love letters. Yeah. The trust that goes into putting somebody on these documents. They are love letters because you're entrusting your wishes to somebody that you love and care
for. That's right. You're entrusting your... It was a great session. And if you missed it, I really encourage you to go back and listen to it again. So, Chris, this leads us on to our last pillar, which is spirituality.
As we talked in this pillar, we kind of spirituality, holistic. We certainly respect everybody's religious beliefs.
That's right.
But, and I've had a number of questions about spirituality. What do you mean by spiritual? That's what I mean. It's spiritual, holistic. Everybody has their own religious beliefs, and that's important. And we certainly respect that on the Whole Care Network. But on this component, we dived into more about being comfortable in sharing your story and how cathartic story sharing can be, not only for the person who is telling the story, but the person who is receiving the story. It's that balance that between the difference between sympathy and empathy.
Right.
You know, we sometimes get into that role where we're in sympathy and we say, I really understand what you're saying. When empathy is when you relate 100% to what that person is saying. And when you have the comfort to tell your story, the person who is receiving it gains really three very valuable tools for their caregiving box. They receive validation because they know that the person who is telling their story understands theirs. They receive resources because along the road on telling that story, you're going to talk about the great resources that you uncovered. And when we're able to share our stories, and that's really the whole purpose of the Whole Care Network. It's through our story sharing that we want to build trust and comfort with folks. Everybody has their own comfort zone when it comes to sharing their story. And that's okay. And I'm not just saying, don't be selective about telling your story, but find that comfort zone when you tell your story, because it's going to help both you and the person receiving the story.
Chris, and I think this last pillar underscores this the most, because what we're talking about, this holistic approach, is what is it that you want going forward? What is your future self after caregiving?
Is your future self?
And what can you do to control that?
Go find it on your future self on the Whole Care Network. Download it. You can download all homework assignments as given to you by Sister Brunhilde Monica Stenchula from Credit for Caring. The information, the downloads that we have, the documents, they're all there to help you in your caregiving journey so that you can plan for your future self.
Yes. Yes. Chris, this has been an incredible journey with you. I have loved every minute of it. Thank you so much for inviting me along. Thank you.
And we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in to Your Future Self. And please check out all of our podcasts on the Whole Care Network. And we've got a lot of great things happening on the Whole Care Network. So, Monica?
Yes, Chris?
You're pretty awesome.
So are you, Chris. Thanks so much. It's been a great journey.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you for another episode of Your Future Self when Monica says we're going to do another one. How's that? Okay. Take care. Bye for now. Bye.